What's up, everyone? Welcome to the ninth episode and the second emergency episode of Peach State Prospects. This time, we are here to help you all get ramped up on all things Hurston Waldrop before he makes his major league debut tomorrow. As always, my name is Gaurav, and I am your host. And joining me today is Garrett Spain. Garrett, how are you feeling today now that news has broke that Hurston will be starting tomorrow?
Yeah, it's a bit of a bittersweet feeling because now I have to recap games without Hurston Waldrop pitching. That's not as much fun for us. That's not as much fun for the minor league crew when the guys go to the major leagues now. But I'm definitely, I
That's
mean,
for certain.
I'm looking forward to a start and kind of seeing, where he is against the major league lineup. And, I think we've kind of talked about it and kind of our feelings on it aren't necessarily like, oh, we're ready to see him, kind of stick, but we'll get into that more. And how are you doing?
Doing well. It was a bit of a surprise, although not a surprise once he was scratched from his start. Immediately people start thinking he's going to be called up, and then sure enough, not too much later, we got that news. And like you, my first thought is, well, let's actually pause on that. We'll go more into that here in a second. So let's go ahead and dive right in. Let's talk about Hurston Waldrop. So on the season, Hurston is 3-5, win loss totals, with a 3.09 ERA, 1.355 WHIP, with a 9.6 K per nine and 2.9 walk per nine rate. Now, his first start of the season was atrocious. There is no other adjective to really use. Hurston lasted only 2.2 innings, gave up 11 hits, 7 earned runs. He only walked one and struck out four, but those numbers aren't going to get you anywhere. After that, Hurston really dialed in. Over his next nine starts, he pitched 52 innings, 52.2 innings, really, to the tune of a 2.05 ERA, a 1.196 WHIP, K rate and walk rate again, 9.4 and 2.9. On the season, lefties are slashing 247, 324, 309 against him, while righties about the same, although they're hitting about 280 off of him. His last start, which ended up being the final start before he got this promotion, he was dynamic. He pitched six innings, five hits, three earned runs, one walk, and 11 strikeouts. To go along with that, he generated 22 whiffs, including an outrageous 16 off of his splitter. That splitter that Garrett just a few days ago graded as a pure 80 pitch. How does Hurston get it done? Well, let's start off with his fastball. He sits anywhere from 93 to 96, and it's got decent arm side run. He can get that up to 99. However, it seems to be most effective when he can control it, slightly better and ramp it down to that 93 to 96 range. To go with that, he's got an 86 to 89 mile per hour slider. That slider has roughly a 30-inch vertical break while possessing about half a foot horizontal break. It all comes together for Hurston with this splitter. His splitter, again, a true 80 grade pitch. He throws it anywhere between 83 to 85. It's got 3 feet of vertical break and about 4 inches of horizontal break. It's kind of interesting because it's similar-ish movement-wise to his slider, but how they get it done is completely different. Garrett, I want to hear from you. Can you break down Hurston's mechanics for us?
Yep. So Waldrop tends to have very active mechanics. He has a little bit of effort to his delivery. And so you're not looking at clean mechanics that often have a clean release. And we've seen a lot of inconsistency with this release point with his pitches. Now, sometimes that can help him. It's hard to really read the spin out of his hand, especially with the splitter. That pitch ends up all over the place. So it's hard to judge the break and it gives it a lot of deception. On the other hand, you look at his fastball, it's kind of a weird shape. He has a very over-the-top delivery, which gives his fastball shape a bit of a kind of, they call it a cut carry, where it's not a true four-seam fastball, but it's not really a cutter. It's kind of an in-between shape that it doesn't, if you look at his pure spin metrics velocity, it should miss more bats than it does, but just because of the shape, it's not necessarily as effective as it could be, and he hasn't really He hasn't added a true cutter and moved it to a true four seam type of shape. So it's a bit of an in-between pitch. And because of the inconsistencies, his tendency to bail out his front shoulder, his arm angle can get awkward, and it really impacts, especially to his slider. Just the movement on his slider can vary from he can have a wicked wipeout slider to it can get slurvy, it can hang up arm side a lot more. And we're seeing, we've definitely seen over his past few starts a lot of improvement in that fact. I mean, his strike throwing has taken a huge leap forward. And a lot of that is just more consistency from his mechanics. But there's enough inconsistency there where you don't necessarily know what you're going to get from him pitch to pitch. So those mechanics are kind of the limiting factor for him in terms of his ceiling, in terms of how good is he able to command the ball going forward. Right now, I would say that his command mechanics are at a point where his command is just not very good. Again, he's improved strike throwing. He's in the zone. And I think that we could both agree that his stuff is so good that when he's in the zone consistently, he can get outs. It's just a matter of does he leave his slider over the plate too often? And I think right now, when you look at his mechanics, he definitely has a lot of maturation to go through in terms of being able to repeat his mechanics. And I do think that ultimately, long term, there's only so far he can go just because of how much effort there is in that delivery.
Last episode with Chris talked about how he was a bit of a perfectionist, someone that really tunes into what he does on a day-to-day basis. He talked about his slider sometimes becoming a little bit slurvy. Again, some of those base metrics on that slider, it can potentially, we've seen some without any real horizontal break, and it becomes basically like another, almost like another splitter in terms of the overall movement without the RPM decrease, and it just becomes a pitch that kind of hangs up there. So it's definitely something to keep an eye out. It's something that we hope we don't see tomorrow. And in a perfect world, for Hurston to really evolve as a pitcher, do you see the need for him to potentially add another pitch, or do you think it just comes down to being able to repeat those mechanics again? He's a really big guy. He's got stuff going everywhere. He's got elbows going everywhere. Do you think just being able to master those mechanics will help him take that next step? Or do you really think he needs to add another pitch, potentially, maybe something like a sinker or potentially another breaking pitch?
Don't think that it would necessarily. I think he can survive with three pitches, his current three pitches. He can survive at the major level and be fine and be a very good pitcher for a lot of years. I do think that his slider specifically would do better if he, again, had it a more consistent shape, or even because we've seen it with more horizontal movement, with more vertical movement. If he can differentiate that into two distinct pitches that he can land consistently, that would help him quite a bit, especially against right-handed batters where his splitter is so good that he can get both-handed batters out. But I don't necessarily think that his slider is a dominant pitch against right-handed batters. So having a pitch that he can go to, maybe more of a sweeper type movement there, or even again, just say turning his fastball into four-seam or cutter versus maybe, I mean, I don't think that he can. The shape of his fastball is what it is, but if he can turn it into more, but if he can get a true cutter out of it, or maybe get a true sinker out of it, maybe you could kind of look at that as different shapes to his pitches. I do think, though, that I think we've talked about this before, not on the podcast, but privately, that that slider is the pitch that I look out and say, if you can turn that into two different pitches, that adds depth to an arsenal. And really, that's his third best pitch. If he could turn that into two pitches that are major league quality, we know he's threw a curveball as a in college. He hasn't thrown that in the professional ranks yet with the Braves. So I think being able to add another pitch would definitely help him quite a bit, just because when his splitter pretty much always works, but when his slider isn't working, it's really hard for him to get deeper into games because he'll tend to struggle to put away hitters and especially right-handed batters. So having something else in different looks to throw at batters, I think would help him quite a bit. And I think a true cutter and splitting that slider into two different pitches are really the things that I would look at for him in terms of being able to add another pitch.
Now, one thing going for Hurston that particularly wasn't there for Spencer is the fact that he is facing off against the Nationals offense that is kind of towards the bottom of the barrel. Now, the Nationals have played very well against the Braves this year. However, some of their advanced stats, their ability to chase pitches really goes in line with some of Hurston's strengths. Again, that splitter is extremely good. It does cause a ton of whiffs. It looks so good coming out of the hand, and then that ball just dies. He's got a good matchup going on. Garrett, I want to hear, what are your initial thoughts about Hurston getting that spot start or potentially more? And what are your expectations from him for at least tomorrow?
Right. I do think that the Nationals are specifically a good matchup. One, they're just not a good team in general. And then Waldrop is very dependent on chase rates, specifically with the splitter. Getting hitters to go after that pitch when it's below the zone is how he makes his money, right? The Nationals have the ninth highest chase rate in baseball. That's good for him. They're going to go out of the zone more. And I think that's a concern with Waldrop is because he's so dependent on teams going out of the zone against him, major league teams are going to have more patient hitters. So that's going to be a struggle for him, but I think the Nationals are a good matchup for him. And especially, they have the second lowest run value in all of baseball against splitters this year. So if you're looking at specifically the matchup against the Nationals, it's a good matchup. I think it's going to kind of be similar to Schwellenbach in that you looked at that first start with Schwellenbach, and those first four innings, he looked fine. And then you started to see the fatigue set in and the command got off. I think if they have Waldrop on a bit of a short leash, he's going to be okay. Where the first couple of his fastball and his splitter are so good that I think the first couple of times with that lineup, he's going to be fine. It's kind of, are they going to give him a third time through the lineup? Are they going to really try to push him to go five or six innings? And that's when I think he would start to fail, where if the slider isn't working at its best, he's going to have trouble getting through the lineup multiple times.
Please
My
go ahead.
expectations for him are tempered, right? I don't think that he's ready, but I do think that specifically this matchup is good for him, and I think he'll be okay. I think his pure stuff is good enough that he can survive and not get destroyed, but I don't necessarily think that he's ready to come in and take a long-term starting role right now.
Can we get a prediction, a line prediction for me for tomorrow?
I think we're going to see about 5 innings. More than likely, they'll get a couple runs. I'm going to predict 5 innings, 2 runs, couple walks, 7 strikeouts. I think that splitter is going to be good enough to get a lot of strikeouts. Like, especially against that team, it's going to be enough to get a lot of strikeouts. But I think that once he kind of gets through that second, once that he gets the second, third time through, they're going to have a little bit easier time kind of picking up on his fastball shape. Because again, his fastball shape's a little weird too. So that's going to be something that's going to be an adjustment for major league hitters. But once they get through second, third time through that lineup, I do think that they're going to do something against him.
Yeah, I think I'm right there with you. I think sitting around five innings, 2 to 3 runs, I do think he's going to get plenty of strikeouts. The line's going to look solid because of those chase rates that the Nationals have. Like you said, that second time through the lineup, is that fastball going to continue to stay steady, or are they going to be able to recognize that shape? Is that slider going to be there to keep them off balance? There's a lot to be seen. But I'm in my mind, I'm right there with you. 5 innings, 2 runs, let's go with a couple of walks and 6 to 7 strikeouts. Now, we talked about this immediate game tomorrow. Garrett, I want to hear, what are your overall expectations of his role moving forward for this Atlanta team? Because now, with him not only making the start, it pretty much opens the door for him to come up to the majors the rest of the season. So, what kind of role do you see for him moving forward, and potentially do you see him in a playoff roster?
I would say I don't think that he's going to stick in the rotation right now. I don't think he's ready for that from a command perspective. Spot starts here and there, maybe he's good enough. And again, because his splitter specifically is such a weird pitch and his profile overall is so weird, I do think that major league teams are going to have a trouble getting a look at him. Kind of the first time they see him, they might struggle because he looks weird. And so you can kind of come up and see him against guys like that. But I don't know if he's a guy that I would trust in the playoffs with his command issues and with really the fact that his fastball can be somewhat hittable, especially against better teams. I do think that if you look at the 26-man roster, 40-man roster, and you say, who are your best pitchers? His fastball and splitter are good enough that he's probably one of the best 26 in a relief role, because we know he can touch 99 with a fastball. I think he would, in shorter stints, he would sit there, sit more 96 or 99 with that splitter. And that's a guy that you can really deploy in a relief role and feel a lot of confidence in. So in a relief role, I think he could do fine. You know, over a guy like Hergett, I know he just went on the IL, even Aisvel Hernandez, I think that his fastball splitter combo is better than those two pitchers. Now, I don't think that I would start him in the postseason right now, at least not what I've seen out of him. Now, if you look at postseason options, and especially if you look at maybe that fourth game in a 7-game series, I could see them deploying him or him and Schwellenbach in kind of limited roles where you say, I want 3, 4 innings out of you. I don't want you to go through a lineup 2, 3 times. I want you to go out there, give it your all for 50 pitches, get me 3 innings, and we'll see what happens then. Again, his stuff, his fastball splitter combination is good enough in that sort of role that he could be dominant in a postseason role. And so I think he ends up on the postseason roster unless he just has a really bad end of the season or he somewhat regresses with his strike throwing. But I think his strike throwing is good enough. His splitter is so good that in a postseason role, having that one pitch that good can make you effective in the bullpen. But I don't think he's going to make starts in the postseason unless it's more of an opener type situation. And I would even have, like, right now, specifically right now, I would have Schwellenbach over him in terms of starting and maybe even in a postseason role. Though, again, I think having that splitter be so dominant in a one inning role, that would be fun to watch for sure.
Yeah, there aren't too many 80 grade pitches out in the major leagues, and being able to throw a splitter in a very abbreviated stint in a playoff scenario is extremely intriguing to say the least. Well, that does it for the two of us. Hopefully this will get you prepared for tomorrow's Hurston Waldrop start. Thanks for joining us, and we look forward to talking to you all again next week.